Turundused tule joonel.
We'll start now with Kirts, and the main topic today will be very, very, I think, surprising for marketeers, for most of us, is about jeans and marketing. And jeans in means not the trousers we wear, but the jeans we have inside us. And to introduce the topic, I would like to say that psychology has always played a lot of influence in marketing. But today we can even look further at what influence do our genes play in marketing. And Kirts Polis, you are one of Tallinn Marketing Week presenters and extremely interested in what type of research has been done and can probably explain us a bit more. And let's start from the beginning. How is, in general, our genetics influencing our behavior? Aren't we all the same?
We are all the same.
And, almost.
almost. That's true. But there are really interesting aspects in regards to genetics as such, because the difference between Neanderthals and the Homo sapiens is only 0.03%.
Okay.
So the difference between each and individual Homo sapiens is 0.01%. So meaning that we are tactically and practically the same. But there, of course, is a big but always. And this time the but is deeper. This time the but is smaller. This time the but is more significant. Because there has always been an interest why to twins that come from the same cell, identical twins, why they behave differently. And there was no real answer until around 2001, 2002, when people started not just to look at the genetics at themselves, but about the epigenetics. And epigenetics is this new field that I think that all the marketers should pay really close attention to, because this is gonna influence how we advertise, how we approach people, and what kind of tools we use. But this is really, really sensitive. And I don't know how deep and how much time do we have on this. I could go on. But what I want to say that if genetics has influenced the human behavior to adapt to environment, right, over the tens and hundreds of thousands of years, then this interesting aspect about epigenetics is that the previous two generations is the one who has the most effect on our behavior. And this is a really important discovery that has been made.
How does it look like in our body? How do you see that there are genes and then there is epigenes? Or what does it mean, really?
Well, genes basically is a map for how the human should evolve.
Okay.
And it is a blueprint for everything, starting from the blood cells and to the brain cells and neurons. The interesting aspect about this whole thing is that epigenes as such don't exist. But we have this methylation, so-called additional chemicals added from our ancestors to the genetic fond. And they are added on the aspect when this previous generation or your grandmother's generation has something really, really essentially important that might affect the next generations. And this is this aspect that everyone needs to pay attention to.
How can we be influenced by that?
You see, Daniel Kahneman, right? He is the inventor, basically, or the person who came up with the behavioral economics in the 70s, because he started to look at how, from the psychological point of view, how humans are acting, how they are behaving. And when we start to dig a little bit deeper, we see that it's not only the psychology that affects our behavior. And it has been always known that environment and genetics affect us, but there is this epigenetic aspect as well, because what happens is that in our brain we have two systems, but Daniel Kahneman has always said the one is this quick system That dictates our breathing, that dictates when we wake up in the morning, we start to walk without thinking about it, how our heartbeats work, how our nails are growing. All these elements that don't need a lot of energy, right?
Okay.
But then there's this other system, which is this logical, analytical aspect. And this is where we always paying attention to towards some aspects. And what happens is that when we start to look at emotional stimuli, and this is important as well for genetics, when there is an event that is more emotional than logical, we are being kind of branded, we are marked. The bigger the emotion about something, an event, an experience, the greater is the aspect that this will be saved and passed on to the next generation, because it might be important for our survival. And this is this epigenetic aspect.
Okay. And so, what should marketeers do differently, knowing that?
First of all, I want to have a little step back, because I have something on my heart that I really want to say out loud, and what I'm going to talk about as well in the conference, that I like marketing for the reason that we are one of the first ones who try to use the latest scientific elements in business, and I applaud for that marketing. The other aspect that I don't like about all of this, that a lot of marketers are not paying attention towards these novelties and innovations, because they might be just at the beginning of their development and the greatness. But we somehow try to turn them around like these super trooper tools. And you saw in this article, right, how there is promoted genetic foods or genetic diets and all these aspects, which is actually not really working. It's just a buzzword. It's just an empty promise. And for that reason, I don't like it. So, to answer the question, what should be correctly done, I think we should first take a look at the human being as a whole and what affects our behavior. Those are psychology, those are neurology, those are genetics, and many more fields that are currently working to understand why we behave the way we behave. And this is important. Did I answer that question?
Yes, a bit.
We can go on.
Okay.
Let's say recently, right, I was looking for some examples to come up and to show what is wrong with all these fields that are used in marketing. And one thing that I didn't really like was when I tried to look for neuro products, I found a lot of them. You can buy neuro chewing gum, you can buy neuro water, mm-hmm. you can buy neuro chocolate, you can buy neuro cereal, nuts, tea, coffee, all neuro-based. But there is no research behind that. It's just an empty word. It's like the same aspect when you want to get on the television some more impact. You ask doctor or a baby saying something funny. It's the same approach. There is no science behind it. There is much more deeper understanding about neurology as from the human point of view, from the scientific point of view. Like scanning the brain waves when people are looking at some stuff or talking about some stuff, how the skin responds, you can measure that, how the eyes are reading the screens, you can build based on that your new web page. And when we look at genetics, emotions are this aspect that we are still missing sometimes. Because of the speed that currently all the products are being sold, we're trying to be always loudest, we're trying to be always the fastest, we're trying to be always the first one to be approachable. And that's, we are missing this emotion. And epigenetics and genetics identifies that if you want to have sustainable, long-lasting products and relationships with your customers, you have to be true, you have to be honest, and you have to be in line with what you are selling. Today, it's so quickly messages are getting around. The latest games that are coming out are just within 19 days, there's 50 million downloads. It's insane in 19 days. So meaning a message can travel around the world just in, I don't know, 24 hours. So we, as a marketers, I would suggest that we have no this luxury anymore to just, hey, let's say something and let's see what happens. It's gone. This time is gone. We have to stop exaggerating. We have to stop saying uncertain truths. But I guess it's up to every marketer. I can only just suggest and talk about it and yeah, have a discussion that what would be the right way. But I think it's still up to everyone.
I think that it was a very good explanation. Let's come back. Let's say sure. that you are a marketer working for the... I don't know. I think that it's so easy with business to consumer products with emotions and everyone will understand. Let's come to business to business. Let's say that right. how could a company who is, for instance, selling a piece of software to other companies who is, I don't know, improving productivity like usual, how should they approach marketing based on the knowledge what you have about how genetics and epigenetics influences mm-hmm. us?
I have never always actually tried to divide, first of all, business to customer and business to business, because eventually there is still some person behind it. It's not like you are talking to some artificial intelligence in general, right? Yes, there's a different attitude, there's a different attire, there's a different environment, how you approach this topic. But my suggestion would always still be try to connect and understand, first of all, both sides' desires. That's number one. Number two, we have to be able to communicate properly. And I mean, this is really, really important. And this is what I believe is currently missing and lacking for this new generation of businesses. And especially when we are talking about IT crowd, I don't know if that's the polite way how to say, but technological businesses or businesses that are working with the newest technology and gadgets and stuff. These people are so fantastic, but they are so in their own environment that sometimes the communication is the missing element. They might have the amazingly fantastic, innovative product that can save the world, to save humanity. But if you cannot communicate and agree on stuff, it will not work. And I bet you have animal as well experience when you approach some younger marketers who say, okay, let's go digital and everything will be fantastic, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you say, why? What's into it? Well, because everyone's doing that. Okay, fine. But why? That's it. There is no answer because they cannot sell. They cannot approach people from the emotional intelligence side. We are not as simple creatures as we try to sometimes make us. Communication and the understanding of others is essential. And it doesn't matter whether that's a service. I had experienced some great services on different generational sides. I have experienced really bad ones. And it just has to be the simplest way. Talk to people. Try to understand. Explain stuff. That's it. That's my take on this.
Okay. But what about the emotions?
I think the strongest emotion in general is trust. And you cannot gain trust by just looking at the picture. You cannot gain trust just by reading about some person. You will gain trust when you talk to someone. You gain trust when you approach them, when you have discussions, when you argue. Only then you can gain trust from other people. You don't have to agree on stuff. You don't have to agree on all the elements and questions and statements. But trust comes after time. And time means caring. And when we try to care for others, we can build trust, and trust is one of the most strongest emotions in business and in personal life.
Okay.
And currently, what I'm really would like to mention more is that When we utilize these scientific elements in business, in sales and in marketing, when we are not being honest, after a while it's visible and we are damaging the brand. And again, I can go back to the same analogy to this products, these new games and applications and everything that just 50 million within 15, 19 days. This is how quick the world has been, has become, and how quickly the messages are being delivered from one person to another. I believe this is the base that has to be worked on.
Okay. Sorry for my question, but sure. I just wanted to make sure. Do I understand correctly that if you look at the genetic or epigenetic behavior,
yes,
then there are not big differences between the generations? Let's say that the on the behavioral level, the 70 years old guy is behaving the same way like 7 years old guy.
No.
Or is there anything based on that level, or is it just the age and experience that matters?
Behavior in general has always been identified by two elements until recently. It was genetics, and genetics have evolved over these tens and hundreds of thousands of years because we need to survive, we need to adapt, and we need to adapt to environment. So genetics and environment has always been these two great whales that behavior has been built on. And then recently came this epigenetics. And why is it important? Because let's take a look at banana, for example, right? The fruit banana. Everyone knows that. Everyone is eating it. But until recently, this fruit was really unedible, because it has such a hard seeds. The wild banana has such a hard seeds, and it's not delicious in any way. It's really, you can't eat it. But what has happened, we have started to cultivate it, to adapt to our desires, to adapt to our tastes. And over this 200-300 years, we have managed to cultivate it into a delicious fruit. And the same happens here. Genetically, humans have evolved, but we needed a reglement, something, a mechanism that identifies that, wait, this might be important. Let's see how this will be in 2-3 generations. And this is this epigenetic modification, because if there's something really important, because emotionally we can understand stimuli, all kinds of, right? It can be sound, it can be smell, it can be everything, what you see, sight, whatever. And then when it's really, really, really stimuli for our brain, we mark it. And this mechanism is the one that's really important. Because environment, it's just a really quick indicator. I like this, I don't like this. But there is no regenerational aspect of that. Epigenetics have this additional element that, okay, I'm marking this. This was important, this experience. Either I liked it or I didn't like it, but it was so intense that it's marked. And then the next generations, when they experience similar emotions, they identify, yes, this is good. And that affects our genetics. Without that, we would still need a really long time, a mutation of our genes to adapt to environment, or just really long time when something at some point is being identified that, yes, this was really good for us, or this was really bad for us. And this is why epigenetics are so important.
Wow, that's very good. So can you tell me the names of companies whom we should look as they do the marketing perfectly based on genetic approach?
I was actually thinking about this question quite hard. I would like to emphasize that there are businesses who have been built for generations, and they are given the management for the next generation and the next generation. And luckily, for the last 2 years, I'm involved in a company called Amazon Group LV, And we represent certain agricultural machinery businesses. We have 10 brands right now, and there are two specific ones that I really am so happy that I'm here right now, because this aligns quite well with what I'm talking about and what I'm reading and studying and learning for this generational aspect and influence on our next children and grandchildren. These two businesses is called Amazon Werke, and another one is Bernhard Krone Holding. They're not that known for other people, but in agriculture they're really, really big businesses. If I'm not wrong, that Amazon Werke had like 5 billion turnover in a year. But I'm not really on the dot for these numbers. But what I wanted to emphasize is that these people have built their empires over the generations. And every time when they are making a product show for people around the world, for representatives and importers around the world, the owners are coming out. They meet every single person from their branches, from their representatives, from all the countries. They talk to them. Sometimes they remember even you. And that has always amazed me. Because if you have an empire and you can still remember people, I'm impressed. But more, I'm impressed how they are managing the businesses. Because still one of the first sons of this Dreyer family from Amazon Werke, he's still working there. He's still going to meetings. He's still giving here emphasis. And what I like about that is that he's been there from the very beginning. And he has this heart, this feeling, this spirit, because he was one of those who were driving it to evolve in the business that is right now. And all the other people, not other people, but all the other kids and grandkids of his, they respect him. They listen to him. And again, what I said before, it doesn't mean you have to always do what he says. It doesn't mean you can't have an argument. But to have this business, this huge empire in the hands of family and still be able to evolve, they just recently built a new factory. It's enormous. And they still continue to be one of the top producers of agricultural machinery. And for that reason, I think these businesses are really, really important to follow and to see. Because they are not flashy, they are not known, and their marketing or the promotion is not that well-known and hyper. But the way how they approach business and the way how they approach marketing, in the very essence, it's just beautiful. And I believe that this is the way how you should start to build your marketing, to start to build your business. And only then comes this flashy, blingy, I don't know, all this glitter stuff on top. Only then.
I do understand you, but I just want to ask, isn't this the absolute, I don't know, the basics for any business, that you have to treat your people well, you have to treat your customer well, you have to build trust, and then your business starts to grow? Isn't this a universal truth? And for me, it sounds sometimes that the modern understanding of genes or epigenetics is somehow explaining the kind of the good practice of business, how it should be, not that they are helping to discover new things. Am I right or am I wrong?
I would agree partly with you, if you don't mind me saying that. First of all, I completely agree that this is the essence of the business in general. I dare agree with you 100%. And I'm only telling this because when I was looking last year at the unicorn businesses, it was 197 last year. I haven't looked since April last year. This means that the businesses that have gained $1 billion have grown to 197. And they have grown rather quickly, within 2, 3, 5, 7 years. The further we go, these businesses are growing more. What does it mean? Can you tell me that you can build a business that is worth 1-2 billion and you have good relations with everyone in the company and you have set up all the marketing according for the sustainability of the business, or you are there for the money? It could be both ways, of course, but I don't believe that you can so quickly establish good relations with providers, with marketers, with business, with market, for the reason, as Google did, to make a world a better place. I simply don't believe that. And for the same reason, when you said, isn't this the basics? I would say it's not. Because it's currently what we are seeing. Marketing is flashing. Marketing is glitter. Marketing is just loud words, the confidence, it's overconfidence, exaggeration. And I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it's working. I don't like it doesn't benefit anyone except a few. And for that same reason, I still consider marketing much deeper element of business administration, much deeper as management tool. And when we are looking at these scientific elements, where I don't agree with you, is that, as I said before, neuroscience is a fantastic field. It's really, really fantastic. And recently, when we started to look how, for example, again, this facial coding, how we read the homepage, right? We can identify real behavior of humans. But this is the result. The same goes for voice recognition. When we speak about something that's really interesting for us, we can get the results that what's really going on in our heads, or fMRI. Which again, we can look in the brain to identify what's really going on. And even though this is only the result element of this neuroscience, there is more. If you look how the brain is being developed, how the brain over this, again, 10,000 years for modern humans, human beings, have evolved, there are three basically layers. And the last one for analysis, for speech, for voice, for logic. It's only the human beings have this layer of the brain. But emotional aspect has been there before. And why? Because emotions, or the limbic system in general, controls our automatic system. And it always and it also controls our memory, because it there is a, I don't recall the name of it, but there is an element in the brain, a part of it, which identifies which memories are stored for the long term and which memories are for the short term. And this happens in the same region where emotional center is. You see, we can look at these scientific fields from various aspects, but when we start to sell them only for their name, they don't work. And for that reason, I think science is moving forward. We only need to find the right approach how to utilize it so that it wouldn't harm your customers and the markets. And for that reason, I think now science is giving us some new tools to play with.